it Omar or St. Carl? None of them. How many mediators? One. What's his name? Jesus Christ. Come on, give God some glory. The Bible says, for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. This is simple. This is elementary theology. But the church has lost something. We've lost the elementary things of the cross. We've lost the simple things of atonement, J. Gray. That's why we have believers, all right, who were in solid gospel preaching churches, get disgruntled, and the next thing you know, they back at these churches that have no gospel, preach no cross, and even worse than that, are lifting up a co-redeemer and a co-mediator. Listen to me good up in here. Don't you ever think that any church will do for you. Don't you ever think that any church will do for your children. Don't you ever think that every church is like this church, Philadelphia. Don't ever think that. Don't ever think that. The reason I'm telling you this is because I've seen people, y'all. They leave here and they go right back to the Hail Mary full of grace. And in their heart, there's no difference from this place than the mother places with different denominations than us. If you believe that there's no difference between us and them, you ain't got what we're about here yet. You don't have an understanding of the fundamentals of this church. This church is about a redeemer, y'all. This church is about a mediator, y'all. This church is about Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ, and the cross of Calvary. Listen to me. And I'm not saying we're the only church that preaches, Mike. But by God, if you're going to leave this place for any reason, you better leave this place and go to a place that preaches Jesus Christ and him crucified. Don't you? Are you listening to me here? He is the mediator, y'all. If you leave this church and go to another church that is not founded upon the mediatorial work of Christ, you have just entered false religion. You have entered a false denomination. You are in a false church. And the souls of your children and your loved ones could be damned because you're in that kind of church. Understand what we preach in here. Understand the foundation of this church. Don't come here thinking we're the same like everybody else. We are not the same. For on Christ the solid rock we stand. All other ground is just sinking sand. Oh God, you ain't ready. Mike, they're not ready up in here. Come and y'all can compare us to Saint this and Saint that. Boy, you don't understand what you're dealing with here. These people don't have the power of the gospel in them. Listen to me good. Churches or groups founded upon Mary, Joseph Smith, Henry Kinley, Ellen White, or even Haile Selassie, they have fallen short of the glory of God. Woo! If Christ is not the sole mediator of the church, the denomination is a false denomination. It's a false church preaching false doctrine. You are in false religion. If a man don't preach Christ, Paul says, let him be anathema maranatha. Let him be a curse, Paul says. You understand what I'm talking about here? The current climate of the charismatic, non-denomination-driven church is one that precipitates its people not valuing the blood of our Messiah and the exclusive nature of his gospel. Listen to me. These new fly-by-night denominations and churches have their people so watered down, so infantile in their growth in Christ, that they church hop from one church to another, go from one denomination to another. I got a picture. It's a part of the ecumenical movement. But whether you're Catholic or charismatic, it really don't matter. They say we all serve in one God. The problem is, yes, there's one God. But we have to come to an understanding that to get to that one God, there's only one mediator. And his name is Yeshua, Jesus. So don't come in my face talking about there's one God if you ain't with the one mediator. Because he who has the Son has the Father. But if you don't have the Son, guess what? You ain't got nothing to do with the Father. Oh, my God. Are you with me up in here? For this cause, he is the mediator of what? Of the New Testament. That's why the church going to hell in a handbasket. Because the Christians are so, what's the word? What's the word, Pastor? What's the word? Oh, God. That's a good one, yeah. They're so young in the faith. They're so immature. They so don't know their Bible that this is okay to them. When John say, if they preach another gospel, don't even wish them Godspeed. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Come on, let's just keep going. Come on, listen, look at verse 15 again. I done blew my first and second point out. Listen, and for this cause, he is the mediator of what? Of the New Testament. Watch this. It's going to show us the breakdown of it, all right? That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament. Let's just break this down, all right? That by means of death, this is what he accomplishes with his mediatorial work. Through his sacrificial death on the cross, by means of death, all right, he accomplishes something. He accomplishes the redemption of the transgressions, all right? His death accomplishes redemption, all right? Pastor, what is redemption? Redemption is a release. Somebody say release. It's a release secured or purchased by payment of a ransom. Oh, God, have mercy. Oh, God, they done brought the word back. Somebody say ransom. See, that's an old church word. They don't even talk about ransom no more. Redemption is when somebody go to the person that got you held up and pay a ransom. They secure your release by paying a what? A ransom. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Listen, Christ, through death, ransomed us. Why did we have to be ransomed? Because of transgression. Oh, y'all ready to do some work? We needed to be ransomed because of what? Transgression. Pastor, what's transgression? Sin. Because sin is the transgression of the law. We had to be ransomed because of sin. We had to be ransomed because of sin. Who held us hostage? Sin. For I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Sin had us hostage since Adam. And what did sin want? The wages of sin is death. Sin wanted death. Sin put an ad in the paper. I got them all kidnapped, hostage. And ain't nobody could come take them unless they pay me what I want. All right? They say, sin, what you want? I want death. But it can't be just no any kind of death. Can't just be no any kind of blood. It's got to be pure blood. Somebody already held hostage by me can't die for them. Ooh. It's got to be a person who is not hostage to sin that's going to die on behalf of those that's held hostage. Oh, you ain't ready for this. Why would I ever accept their death when they're already dead? Because I got them locked up. I need somebody who not held hostage to come and pay this ransom. All right. Look what he says. His death, y'all, by means of his sacrificial atoning death on the cross, he accomplished the redemption. The ransom payment that we needed, amen, because of our transgressions, all right? Hallelujah. And this transgressions was all about us being under what? The first testament. You see, where there's no law, there's no sin. Oh, God. In order to have sin, you got to have a law. In order to have sin, you got to have a word from God telling you don't. So when you do it and you break God's law, then it becomes what? Sin. Oh, God. You can't have sin without law. All right? The law that made us sinners is the first Old Testament. Anybody hear me? Are y'all ready for this? All right? All right? He had to buy us back from being held hostage to sin. He bought all those that was under the what? The first testament. Now watch this, watch this, watch this. We got our Hebrew brothers and sisters, and even some being dulled and lulled to sleep, wanting to go back to the law. All right? That's foolish. That's foolish. The reason it's foolish is because when you was under the law, the first testament, you were a slave. Going back to the law is like Negroes rising up, all going back to D.C., Sean White, and saying, you know what? This freedom stuff, we don't like it. We would rather plantations and shackles. We would rather, hallelujah, the lynch mobs. We would rather not being able to read or write. We'd rather the slave quarters instead of the neighborhoods we're living in right now. When you say you want to go back to the law, that would be like the Negroes, the modern Hebrews saying, take us back to slavery. Because that's what these people are saying. We want to go back to the first testament. The problem with the first testament is the first testament made you a transgressor. When it made you a transgressor, God, it put you under the dominion of sin. Ooh, it made you a slave to it. Romans 7:14, Paul was expressing this. For we know that the law is spiritual. He says, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Look what he says in the NIV. I am unspiritual, sold as a what? As a slave to sin. This is what the first testament accomplishes. It makes us slaves. But Jesus' death, go back to 15. Jesus' death accomplishes the redemption, the ransom. All right? We needed a ransom because of transgression. That transgression, hallelujah, came about because we was under what? The first testament. Are you with me here so far? So why go back to the first testament? Why make yourself a slave again? Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, when the Galatians wanted to do this, look what Paul called him. And that's what I wanted to say when I started preaching. Fools. Paul said, oh, foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you? That bewitch is a strong word. Because Paul is saying a rational man would never want to go back to slavery once he'd been made free. So Paul is saying, you must be under some kind of spell. This is none other than witchery right here. Oh, the devil got his hands on you and he done pulled a wool over your eyes for you to go back to shackles when you're free. Something got to be wrong up in here. Oh, foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you? They done put a spell on you. You done looked at their eyelids and listened to their words a little bit too long. That you should not obey the truth of the gospel to leave those dead works. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth. You know the gospel. You see it. He's evidently been set forth before you and crucified among you. We done preached it so clear. It's as though the cross was erected at this pulpit. You could see the nail scar hands. You could see the crown of thorns. And you know he is the propitiation of our sins. He had been set forth before you and crucified right in your presence. How are you going to turn from such a great love like that? You got to either be foolish or bewitched. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. That's a spell. In Galatians 4 and 3, he said, even so we, at one time, y'all, when we were children, that's our nation before the new covenant came into being. Remember, we were children under tutors. And our tutor, amen, our guardian, amen, the law, hallelujah, was our guardian, hey, God, our tutor that would lead us to Christ. So when we were children, we was under the law, is what I'm saying. When we were children, we were in bondage, under the elements of the world. In the Greek here, right here, it means under the basic spiritual principles, because that's what the law is basic spiritual principles. But we were under bondage while we were under those basic spiritual principles. In verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of what? Of sons. That we would no longer be slaves under bondage, but sons under freedom. Come on, give God some glory, amen? Come on, I just got to break this down. Galatians 4:9, watch this. He says, but now, after you have known God, this is for all the Christians out there, don't go back to no law. We have a better testament. We have a better testament. We have a better testament with a better mediator. He says, listen, but now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, the elementary things, the law? How you turning back to that? Reverend 2, you desire again to be in bondage. You want to be in bondage again? You want to go back to slavery? He says, you observe days, you're going back to the Sabbath. You observe months, you want to celebrate the new moon feast. You go to do times and years, you want to begin to do the different festivals, Passover and all those things. And we can do those things for fun, but those things, amen, are just shadows to point to the real thing who would come, which is Jesus Christ. He's our Passover lamb. He's the Feast of the Tabernacle. He's the Feast of Lights. You won't go back to that? Paul say in verse 11, he says, I'm afraid of you. I'm scared. Lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. All that I wrote, all that I taught, all that I presented to you is for nothing. If you're going to just receive all this about Yahshua and go back to the bondage and slavery of the law. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who had bewitched you? Come on, give God some glory in this house. Are y'all with me? Is this just too deep for y'all? Look at 15 again. Come on, look at 15. He tells us, he says, hallelujah. And we just looking at his mediatorial work and all that he does. He says, and for this cause, his sacrifice, he is the mediator alone of the New Testament. That by means of his death, his atoning death, for what? For redemption, to purchase us back, to ransom us. Why? Because of our transgressions. How did we get these transgressions? Because we was under the first testament. And so he redeemed us from it, put us under a new testament. We no longer slaves, no longer bound. But look what he says. What's the reason? That they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. He did it all, y'all, so that we would receive eternal life. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. But you know what else they're saying? If you're not under the new covenant and still under the first, there's no eternal inheritance for you. Now. He did it all that we might receive the eternal inheritance. Those that was under the first covenant couldn't get to it. You got to be forgiven. You got to be redeemed. So all of our brothers and sisters that's out there going back to the law, guess what? They lost. They have no sacrifice for sin. They're still slaves. You see? And we're going to pray for them. And we believe that in this last dispensation, that our people all going to understand that without Yahshua and his cross, we are of all men most miserable. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Point number four, a greater testament. Now, boy, I'm sorry to get so deep so soon, you know, a greater testament. In point number four, look what he says, amen, for where a testament is, all right? Now, let me just stop right there, y'all. I forgot something in my announcements, amen, so let me just give y'all a break for a second, all right? We're going to call this an intermission. Somebody say intermission. See, because after you done drop some heavy gospel stuff on, you just need a stretch and just yawn and just, oh, goodness, Lord, what are we going to talk about now? All right? So let me give you an announcement while we're halfway through, all right? James Malville, amen, is going to be releasing, amen, his official new video, Never Went, amen? Come on, give God some glory. All right? He's going to be releasing it on the School of the Hebrews, amen, YouTube channel. He wanted me to implore you, amen, and I want to beseech you to, number one, subscribe to the channel so that you can get the notices of all the new videos that we do, all right? Secondly, Malvo is going to be doing this release of this video, amen, Wednesday at 7 p.m., all right? And as a subscriber, you're going to get a little email and all this stuff like that, so you want to be a part of that, amen? And I just want to encourage you, amen, that after the release, amen, go ahead and click on it, check it out, amen. Him and Brandon Hunt, a voice, they did a great job on the video, amen. They tore it up, amen. And so go ahead, subscribe and support him. Let him get as many views as he can, amen. Hallelujah, because when the views start and they snowball, amen, when people searching for stuff, they come up, and we want everybody to see the truth of Yahweh, the truth of God about creation. Come on, give God some glory, amen? All right, intermission is over. Point number four, we have a greater mediator, but we also have a greater testament, all right? Let's look at verse 16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator, right? The Greek word for a testament, y'all, means a will, all right? Somebody say a will, all right? Now, I got a little pic, amen, that you could show them sound boot of, hallelujah, what's called a last will and testament, amen. And, you know, going through law school and stuff like that, they taught us all about the different, amen, bequittals and stuff like that of wills. And a lot of, for the longest in my practice, amen, I did wills, amen. Still could do wills, but I'm just really focusing on real estate right now, all right? When you get into succession law, when you get into probate law, amen, you understand what the book of Hebrews is talking about right now is really a legal, amen, situation right here, all right? The writer of Hebrews says, he says, for where a testament, where a will is, okay, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator, all right? A testament is the will. The testator is the person who drafts the will, who has the will drafted on their behalf, all right? They the one leaving the stuff, mother-in-law, amen? So you have a will, you are the testator, all right? Okay? The Bible is telling us, amen, in order for a will to be in effect, there must be the death of the testator. What this means is that the will has no power behind it, no teeth behind it, cannot be enforced until the testator, the person who wrote it, dies. Amen? Until they pass away. All right? And it's very simple. John Leday, I could bequeath you $1 million in my will. All right? But until I die, you ain't got the $1 million. You understand what I'm saying? The will means nothing until death happens. A testament means nothing until death happens. All right? And so it is with the testaments of God. Our Bible is separated into testaments, TP. Wills. An Old Testament and a New Testament. an old will and a new will. Oh! And you got some people that want to be a part of the old will. The problem with the old will, amen, is that the old will has got some conditions. You ever saw some of those movies where somebody that's rich leaves somebody something, but they can't get the money until they do this and do that, and you watching the movie, oh God, he got 12 minutes to give all the money away. And sometimes in the movie, they don't do all they need to do to get the money. That's the old covenant. It's a conditional will. You got to do so many things before you get the promise of it. And the problem is that none of us can fulfill those conditions. Woo! Thank God, Antonio, that he left us two wills. He left an old will, but he left a what? A new will. Oh, come on, give God some glory, amen. Hey! And I don't know about you, amen. I don't want the lawyer to read the old will. No, tear that up. There's an updated form. And the way a testament works is, us lawyers know that the last dated will is the one that trumps everything else. Are you hearing me up in here? All right? So a lot of times in family disputes, you see family come in, Leah, and they got a will from 1976. The other brother come in, he got a will from 1980. Amen. And the sister come in, she got a will while he was still in the hospital. Amen. Their handwriting is all messy. Amen. And she come in and she said, my will trump, because it's the last one that was written. Listen to me good. He wrote us a last will right here. Hallelujah. And this last will trumps. The only time a last will wouldn't trump is if us as lawyers could prove that the person wasn't in their right mind when they wrote it. So we seek, amen, to impeach the credibility of the will because the person, amen, either was unconscious, amen, or they were in some kind of state where they suffering from dementia or whatever like that. Then I would prove, I say, oh no, that will is out the window. But let me tell you something about our will. Our God wasn't out of his mind. Our God ain't suffered from no dementia. Our God. Anybody hear me up in here? I want to ask you, which will you want, the old or the new? All right. All right. All right. He says here, for where a testament is, there is also the necessity. Also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. There's no power until a death happens. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. They could promise you $1 million, but you broke until they die. Why we get on the news, them children killing their parents and all this crazy stuff like that. Why? Because they can't enforce the testament until a death happens. Right? All right. He says, 18, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. All right. Now let's stop right there. There is an inextricable connection between death and blood. Anybody hear me up here? Death and blood. All right. So bad that whenever we see blood, we associate it with something that went wrong around here. You walk in, they got blood everywhere. You're going to walk right out. I'm calling the police. All right? Because something bad done happened around here. All right? God associates death with blood. In Leviticus 17:11, probably one of the most powerful scriptures in the Old Testament, amen, prophesying about our redemption through the blood of Calvary. Leviticus says, for the life of the flesh is in the what? The blood. All right? The life is in the blood. That's why he didn't want us to eat blood. That's why he didn't want us to... Anyway. The life is in where? In the blood. No blood, no life. No blood, no life. Right? In an inextricable connection between blood and death. This is a will. All right? But in order for the will to be enforced, it's got to be some death. It's got to be some blood. When you look up the Hebrew root of the word covenant, it means to cut. Any serious contract involves blood. Are you with me here so far? We used to watch the movies, Big Brother, when the boys would make a promise. Huh? What they would do? They would take a glass, amen, or a knife, and they'd cut their hands, amen, and then they would swear on that. It was a blood covenant. It's a blood covenant. Yes, God made a blood covenant with you. In fact, he made two of them. He made a blood covenant in that Old Testament, and I'm about to share it with you. He made a blood covenant in the New. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Hallelujah! You see, it's got to be blood. It's got to be blood. Look at your neighbor and say, it's got to be blood. All right? That's why he says in 18, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. And in 19, he's going to go into this big soliloquy about what happened in the Old Testament and how death was involved with it and blood was involved with it. And I'm just going to read it for time's sake. He says, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law. Remember, Moses took the book. He read the law and he challenged the people. He said, listen, this is what God requires. Amen. They agreed with it. After they agreed with it, what did he do? He took what? Blood. The blood of calves, the blood of goats with water and scarlet wood and hyssop. And he did what? He sprinkled it. You'll read it in the Old Testament. Moses took blood. No serious contract, no testament without blood. Death has to be in the agreement. Took blood, and he began to sprinkle the people with the blood. And he sprinkled the law with the blood. He went in the tabernacle. He sprinkled the showbread table. He sprinkled the altar of incense. He sprinkled, hey, God, hallelujah. He sprinkled the menorah, the lights, amen, the lampstand. He went over. He sprinkled the brazen altar, amen. He sprinkled the veil. He sprinkled it all with blood, amen. Sealing the covenant, assuring the testament, guaranteeing the will by blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Listen to me good here. In verse, oh God, 23, it says, it was therefore necessary. Somebody say necessary. That the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these as well. Just like Moses took blood to certify and validate the old covenant, blood had to be spilled for the new. All right? Had to be spilled. All right? As we think about Leviticus 17, 11, right quick, come on, I know we're going deep, but I'm loving this. You have no idea how I'm loving this. We done opened the hood of the gospel, and we under it right now. We got our legs sticking out the hood. We under the water pump right now. Anybody hear me up in here? We going deep, amen, because I don't want y'all ever to leave this gospel. Don't ever leave this thing. The cross is essential. No blood, no will. No will, no salvation. No salvation, no heaven. All right? All right? This is so good. Leviticus 17 said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to do what? To eat my meat rare? I've given you the blood to do what? To do what? To make an atonement for your souls. You see, the wages of sin is death. And when you sin, your soul needs an atonement. And the only thing that can atone for sin is blood. It's blood. It's blood. That's why they shared so much of it in the Old Testament. All right? All right? It is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. All right? Now, let's read 24 in Hebrews. Just stick with me. He says, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands. He didn't go into the earthly tabernacle, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. No, no, no. Christ didn't go in the tabernacle of earth, neither did he have to go every year for 1,500 years. In verse 26, for then must he often have had suffered since the foundation of the world. There would have been a cross every 50 years if that was the case. But now, once in the end of the world, you see that phrase, the end of the world? Huh? Had he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus died on the cross how many times? Once. But when did he do it? In the what? In the end of the world. You see, some of y'all thinking, I'm waiting till the last days. You don't understand. This is the last days. Anybody? The clock of the last days started when he laid his life down on Calvary. In fact, when he was born in a manger, that was the end. That was the start of the end of times. That's why when I tell you, you know, you want to play around and not be saved, you don't know what time it is. It's been the end of days since Jesus walked the face of the planet. Since he was born. You see? He offered himself once in the end of the world, yet he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. 27, and as it is appointed unto men, what? Once to die. And after that, face judgment. You see, we only get one ride on the carousel. We only get one ride, baby. One ride on the Ferris wheel. A lot of people believe reincarnation. They're going to come back. We clown about it. Tell our children, you done been here before. They ain't been nowhere before. We can clown about it. Amen. And we can see different gifts and intuitions about them. Amen. But the Bible tells us that we come here once. We die once. And after we die, we face oh, you ain't with me up in here if you don't understand this. All right? All right? Listen to me now. And so he's saying that Christ, he died once, y'all. He died once. That's why when they come in, they say this one is Christ and that one is Christ and Henry Kinley was Christ and they say this one was Jesus, come back. None of these people are Jesus, y'all. None of these people are Jesus, all right? Because Jesus is not going to die and be born again another man, all right? It's appointed unto men once to die and then face judgment. You don't get to be born a second time and a third time, coming as Joshua and then Jesus and then Paul. That's fairy tales. These men are claiming to be Jesus, amen, so that you could worship them instead of the real Savior. All right? Mike, we got to understand what they say in the book of Acts. The angels say, this same Jesus that you saw go up. Not another one. He ain't coming back a darker complexion, better hair. He ain't coming back brighter. He ain't coming back taller. This same Jesus who you saw go up into heaven shall you see return in like manner. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? He died once, all right? Offered his blood once, all right? In 28, hallelujah. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear. The what? The second time. All right? It ain't happened yet. It shall happen. Shall he appear. The what? The second time. All right? And when he appears, y'all, this is when he comes back to judge the living and the dead. This is when he come back, amen, with ten thousands of thousands of his angels and of his saints. Amen. And when they see him, he's going to be without sin. Not that he wasn't without sin when he came, but when he died, amen, he had to die carrying the sins of the world. He ain't carrying the sins of the world no more. And he's not coming like a sacrifice anymore either. He's not coming as a lamb. Hallelujah. He will return this second time as a lion. Amen. He's not coming. He's coming without sin. He's not coming carrying the burden. He's not coming with that. Amen. When we see him in Revelation, this is not Jesus meek and mild. Bible says his eyes are a flame of fire. Out of his mouth go a sharp two-edged sword. On his belly, amen, he had a girdle wrapped about his loins, made of gold. What that mean is heavyweight champion of all creation, Yahshua Jesus. Undisputed. You understand what I'm saying? And he coming back. He not coming to play Uno either. He not coming to play phase 10. He coming to judge. He coming to judge the living and the dead. All right? And if you are not under his blood tonight, if you are not under the new covenant, if you are not under the new will and testament, his face is the last face you're going to want to see. He's the last face you're going to want to see. All right? Because all those that die outside of Christ will have their part in the lake of fire. They're going to go straight to hell. And I know they don't say hell in a lot of churches, but we say hell in Philadelphia. Anybody hear me up in here? Somebody say hell. Because hell is real. All right? Hell is real. And you're going to go to hell if you don't have Jesus. But I got Mary. You're going to go to hell if you don't have Jesus. I got Joseph Smith. You're going to go to hell if you don't have Jesus. You can have all of them. You can have all of them. Anyone that you want. There's one mediator, one sacrifice, one substitute, one atonement who came one time and died on one cross and rose from the grave one time, ascended on high one time, went into the glorious temple one time, put his blood on the altar one time, sat down on the right hand of majesty one time, gonna raise up when his enemies become his footstool one time, go get on his white horse one time, gonna tell his angels mount up one time, gonna split the eastern sky one time, every knee and bow, every knee will bow, and every tongue gonna confess one time. Gonna deal with Satan, the Antichrist, and all those that follow him one time. And gonna welcome the saints into everlasting paradise and everlasting life. How many times? One time. Get your life together. Get your life together. Get your life together. No co-redeemer. No co-redeemer. No purgatory to go to. One time. One time. And tonight is your time. Tonight is your time. Today is the day of salvation for you. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. You do not know if we leave this place, if you'll split the eastern sky before you make it home. I'm here as your insurer this evening. I want to insure you for the fire that's about to come. And I'm going to insure you with the blood of Jesus. So when everything burn up, hey God, the death angel going to have to pass right over you. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Pastor, I understand. How do I get in? You admit you're a sinner. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You believe in Yahshua Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his burial in the grave, and his resurrection on the third day as your payment for all your transgressions under the first covenant, the first testament. You recognize and realize that your dead works, no matter how elaborate, no matter how they get the awe of men, they are filthy rags in the sight of an awesome and holy God. You must repent of dead works. You must repent of you trying to get yourself to heaven. And you must surrender to the salvation that God provides. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. We admit, we believe, and we confess. The Bible promises us that when we do those things, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No matter how ratchet, no matter how rotten, no matter what their sins were, though your sins be red as scarlet, my Jesus will wash them white as snow. If you would, just bow your heads. Bow your head with me right now. Amen. and we're going to pray. You say, Pastor, I was ready to come to the altar. You ain't got to come to the altar. You can get saved from your seat right here, right now. Tonight, this whole church is an altar. For the gospel has been clearly presented to you. I want you to pray with me. Say, Yahweh, Most High God, I thank you for loving me. You love me so much, you died for me on Calvary. I admit I am a sinner. I've done so much wrong. I've sinned with my hands, with my mouth, even in my thoughts. Lord, please forgive me. You said if I'd call upon you, that you would save me. But here I am, calling upon you tonight. I believe with all my heart that Yahshua Jesus died on the cross one time as payment for all my sins. He rose on the third day, one time, ascended on high, one time, and he's coming back again. Lord, save me, a sinner, and give me a new heart and a new start. Show me my purpose and show me your plan. Put me to work for you. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Come on, give him glory. Come on, give him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand with me. We're going to do the benediction, amen, and get on out of here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You had anything pretty? You good? All right. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his ever-loving countenance upon you and bless you with shalom, with peace. Peace in your body. Peace in your mind. Peace in your family. Peace, peace, peace. Peace in everything you do. Blessings on everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed. Be blessed.